Attorney General Dana Nessel's office has decided to stop any attempt to criminally prosecute anyone related to the Flint water crisis after this seven-year pursuit that, well, yielded no convictions. And Dana Nessel didn't really have a choice, Kevin. She botched the investigation, and the Michigan Supreme Court basically rejected her attempt to do it all over again.
Great job. Excellent. Just wonderful. The people of Flint, I feel so deeply for them. I remember when this first happened. I watched these investigations. I watched people be charged, and then the charges went away for more investigation. And you just had to wonder at that time. You wondered, would this happen if this was Birmingham or Bloomfield Hills or Grosse Pointe or Farmington Hills or Novi or so many other communities? Did this happen to Flint because of the poverty in the Flint area, or did this happen strictly because of neglect? How can you go through this entire investigation, go through everything that happened to these people, and have this be your outcome? Joining us now is Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning. How are you?
Great, guys. Good morning. I'm well.
I feel horrible about this. I feel horrible for the people of Flint. Where are you at on this? You were a key player in this in the beginning.
Well, I mean, words can't capture how ugly and how unfortunate this is for the citizens of Flint. Even to this day, justice will never be served, not even mercy to any extent. I was just reminded last night of Harvey Hollins testifying, and I think, Kevin, you may have been there, but when he actually testified about the governor lying in front of Congress as it related to his knowledge and time of the switch, we had charges, we had pleas. The attorney general's office ultimately, you know, I'm an old school guy. With the victor goes the spoil. I was the spoil. I take it on the chin. They redid it. And from that standpoint, they used a one-man grand jury. When we did it, we sat around with a team of really, really smart people, and judges and the like that were on our team, and we decided to do something in public, that is to hold a preliminary exam. And we used an old Marine adage of two is one and one is none, so every element for the crime that we had to show probable cause on, we did it twice. So making sure that it was we could get through any kind of appeal. The grand jury for which they used, the one-man grand jury, was such that it can only be used for an investigative purpose. There's a separation of powers. That's what the Supreme Court said. And obviously, their interpretation of the one-man grand jury of separation of powers, a judge cannot come back with a charging decision. That has to be done by the prosecutor's office. You can have a citizen's grand jury, but again, that falls within line of the separation of powers. In this case, that didn't happen. I will say, candidly, I know Fadwa Hamoud and Kim Worthy. I respect them immensely. I think they're two top-notch people and law enforcement people. I'm not going to besmirch them. We just had a different tact and a different way of going at it.
Well, it seems that your way of going at it under Bill Schuette at the time, whatever people think of Bill Schuette, this case was moving forward, as you just described, after the work that you put in, and there's this one judge grand jury that seems to be a massive legal miscalculation. If that had not been the case and your work that you put in was not scrapped from this case and Dana Nessel ended up starting all over again from scratch, would there have been some convictions in this case?
I believe so. I think if you read the opinions from Judge Crawford, if you listen to Judge Goggins when we bound over Eden Wells and Nick Lyon for involuntary manslaughter, the standard for which we had to show was that of just probable cause. But I think we established it, as they pointed out, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So I believe that ultimately, yes, convictions would have happened in trial or plea. We already had several pleas. We already had several cooperating witnesses going forward. So I was confident in that. I was not, it was a team effort, and we were not going to charge cases that we didn't think we could win at trial. We only charged based on the belief, can we prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt? So one of the best prosecutors in the state of Michigan is David Layton for Genesee County. And David Layton was, everything had to go through him from me. Bill Schuette said, I want you to prove your case to David Layton before a charge was made. And the PowerPoints and the instructions and everything that we had prior to making a charge was all put through, you know, a check and balance. So I Tom, to your answer, long-winded way of saying yes, we had pleas, and I believe we would have had convictions higher up the chain. And we weren't done. I mean, this is a case that was far from over when it was taken over. So that is what it is.
If I threw out a number around $100 million, I think it would be low for what taxpayers paid for all of this. We have zero criminal convictions. What is the message to public officials who want to take shortcuts moving forward when there's zero criminal convictions after a $100 million plus investigation?
What could be the message? You know, politics should never get in the way of justice or a courtroom. And, you know, you could see that from the start, we were doomed when there was a new administration and there would be a new call to the play. I don't think that, and again, that's not a besmirch on Fadwa or Kemp, but politics in a higher level. So that's sad, right? Because I lecture all the time. Don't ever, ever sidestep, you know, the work. The X's and O's, the proper things to do for politics. Don't ever let that bleed into a courtroom. And that's the biggest thing. And you're right. They say 60 million, Kevin. I can tell you right now that's not even close, right? Because if they don't even have last year's math amount added up yet, you know, let's just follow the money here for what Flint had to pay, $225 million in a bond for the KWA. Just follow that trail, if you will. And they should have never had to pay that bond. Ultimately, at the end, they should have never been hooked onto the Flint water treatment plant. They were forced to do that through this administrative consent order. But that $225 million is another lead ingot on the city of Flint, for which taxpayers will be paying. So, I don't know. It's a visceral part of me because, you know, I have a lot of friends, loved ones in Flint. I watched a lot of people go through some horrific experiences there, and this touches my heart deeply.
It does. It does everyone. And this was the biggest issue in the state in the very beginning of these investigations. For many years it was. And now it's all for naught, it seems. And you mentioned politics. We won't get too much into that. Won't get too much more of your perspective because I know you're not a political person. You're a man of the law and whatnot. But it is sad to see the Attorney General, Dana Nessel, has made herself a political figure. In various statements that she has made, whether it be on social media or from a podium, that, in your view, generally speaking, that hurts the office of the Attorney General.
You know, I come from a mother that said, if you can't say something nice about someone, don't say something at all.
No, sir. I hear you. So, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just was, I guess, sharing my feelings in a roundabout way on this. I always appreciate your perspective. And thanks for your hard work. And we're sorry that this occurred and the outcome that finally came to materialize. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Todd, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, significant amount of time, significant amount of money, Kevin, and no convictions whatsoever.
Disastrous outcome.
Fox News next. We are back after that. This is 760 WJR.